3:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us.
Well, must be that song. Anyway, I worked for the court, and there were some things that were involved with Sabbath. And the Lord blessed in such a way, and Judge Mackey says, you won't have to work Sabbath. And it's a court, it's within a court order that affects several different things. But God blesses in such ways, folks. I do not work on Sabbaths. What a blessing. And by order of a judge at the Yavapai County Superior Court. How great is our Savior. We have a loving Savior. Believe me, each one of us is greatly loved by our Savior. He came to this earth from heavenly throne, gave a life of 33 years of no sin, died on the cross, shed his blood to cover us. What an awesome Savior that is. And what's the purpose in shedding his blood? It was to overcome sin, our sin. We have an awesome and merciful Savior. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his, if you're following what? Grace. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. What a Savior we have, able to forgive our sins, a mediator because of his sacrifice on the cross, the shedding of his blood. It's what it's about, folks, overcoming of our sin. What is our responsibility? Don mentioned it in his prayer, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And folks, this is a promise. He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. What a Savior we have. I want this morning to discuss with you a man, because he's a perfect example for what I am discussing with you this morning. he was David. Acts 13, verse 22. When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, how many people in the Bible are called a man after God's own heart? What a statement! To be a man after God's own heart. What made David such a man? David, as a boy, learned of God while watching his father's sheep, spending time in the green pastures and learning patience in tending the sheep. While protecting the flock from a lion and a bear, he learned to trust God. How many people have dealt with livestock or farming or pastures or, you know, isn't there a blessing? And don't you see and understand how God works? My whole life I've farmed and ranched. As a boy with my dad and granddad, I mean, that's what I've known. And what a blessing. Livestock and hay balers will teach you great patience, folks. Great patience. But David's protected the sheep from a bear, from a lion. What abilities he learned. Another story of David, one of the greatest, and of course you know these stories, but it's just good to sometimes revisit them, was his encounter with the Philistine giant Goliath. This story demonstrates another trait of David that made him so dear to God. David was sent down to take grain and bread to his three brothers. David didn't understand why no one was willing to face Goliath. Here was the whole army of God, and they were afraid of this giant. Where was their faith? But David had faith to believe that God was with him to defeat Goliath. If you turn to 1 Samuel, verse 17, chapter 17, verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Did he have faith and belief that the Lord was with him? Did he have faith and belief that he could defeat the giant? When the whole army of Israel was afraid to go and confront, David said, Lord, I'll go. David was fully aware that God was in control of his life and that he had faith that God would deliver him from impending danger. Was God with him? Absolutely. Instead of like the men of the army of Israel running from the giant, David ran towards the giant. Picked up three stones, used only a slingshot, hit the giant in the head, Goliath, who fell, ran up and beheaded him. Was God with David? Did David know that God was with him? He had lived that life. Absolutely, he knew that God was with him. Another reason David was a man after God's own heart is that he absolutely loved God and God's law and followed it. David always praised God and was truly thankful. David's life was marked by seasons of great peace and prosperity and a man of war. If you turn in Psalms 26, verses 6 and 7, I will wash my hands in innocency, so I will compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Not only did David love his Savior, but he praised him and thanked him for watching over him in so many ways. God saw that what was in David's heart was love and concern for God, more concern for God than for himself. That is one of the reasons God chose David, sought him out as a man after his own heart. Even David, in dealing with King Saul, who was trying to persecute him, who was trying to take his life, knew that Saul was God's anointed king. And on two occasions that he had, he had opportunities to take Saul's life. He knew God. He knew Saul was God's anointed. When Saul was in pursuit of David, he twice did not had an opportunity, once in a cave, once when he was asleep, to take his life. That would have ended the persecution against David, would it not? Yet, he did not. No wonder God loved David. Truly, David was a man after God's own heart. But folks, I come to the point in our today's discussion. How is it that David could be a man after God's own heart? How could he be a man after God's own heart when he committed murder, adultery? He sinned. David was human, and he sinned. And I would say a pretty severe sinning by murder. But let's follow a little further and find out what it was that made David so special. A murderer. We know the story of David and Bathsheba. David saw her. While the army was away, he made contact. Uriah was the husband of Bathsheba. And Uriah is one of the finest soldiers in the army. David came up with a plan to have Bathsheba. And the plan was to send a letter to Joab, the general of the army, that he would put Uriah out in front of the army and then withdraw, leaving Uriah to his fate and death. Not only that, but he sent the letter to Joab by Uriah and thought, what a plan I've come up with. Nobody will know this, and it'll solve Uriah and Bathsheba, husband and wife, and I can take her for a wife. As we know, Uriah was killed in battle. David sent for Bathsheba and married her and thought his plan had worked perfectly. Nobody would know. But somebody did know, don't they, folks? They always know. God knew. He knew exactly what David had done. And I'm sure he was deeply disappointed in David, a man after his own heart. As we know the story, the prophet Nathan came to see David, told him the story of a rich man and a poor man in one city. The rich man had many sheep in his flock. The poor man had one little lamb. A traveler came to the rich man. The rich man refused to take one of his own herd and flocks. Isn't that usually how it works? That's how come they're rich. Because they use everybody else and the poor man for their own purpose. Anyway, he had taken the poor man's lamb and dressed it. As David listened, he became angry at the injustice to the poor man. As he liveth, as the Lord liveth, he exploded, the rich man shall surely die. Restore the lamb fourfold, because he had no pity. Suddenly Nathan, pointing at David, cried, "Thou art the man." David turned pale. His secret was known. His well-laid-out plan was known. God knows, folks. When David was confronted with this crime of murder of Uriah, his answer was simple and straightforward. And here's what makes David a man after God's own heart. Yes, he had committed the sin. And David's response was, "I have sinned against the Lord." He did not make an excuse. "Well, I'm king. I can do whatever I want." He didn't say, "Well, it was Joab's sin. He's the one that sent him up to the front." No, it was a matter that David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." Didn't make an excuse. He accepted responsibility. He said, "Lord, I did it." For an analogy of a difference between two individuals, Saul was the first king of Israel. David was the second king of Israel. Two different men, but somewhat similar stories, chosen by God. Saul was to utterly destroy Amalek and spare not man, woman, ox, sheep, camel, or donkey. When he was confronted on the way back by Samuel, Saul had spared Agag, the best of the sheep, the best of the oxen, the best of the lambs, and all that was good. When Samuel confronted Saul, Saul made the excuse, "It was the people who spared all of the good. Not me. Oh, I'm king, but it wasn't me. It was the people that did this. I did it to sacrifice the best unto the Lord." Even added a little more to it. "I was going to do good with what you told me not to do. And it wasn't my fault anyway. The people wanted to have that happen." Here's the difference, folks. Instead of Saul being repentant, he blamed others and made excuse for his sins. "It wasn't my fault. I'm not at fault for this. It's their fault." Here we see the difference between Saul and David. What was David's response? "I have sinned, Lord." No excuse. And who is able to forgive sin? Our Savior. Every and any sin our Savior can forgive. That's what he came here for. That's what he died for, folks. To save us. What's he saving us from? Sin. To be united with him someday in heaven. David wrote one of the most moving psalms to express his remorse. Psalms 51, verses 1 through 4. Psalms 51, verses 1 through 4. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." David understood, and God said, "This is a man after my own heart." What a man, what a Savior we have, folks. How great thou art. Because of David's sincere sorrow and repentance, God forgave David. God is always faithful to forgive those who come in sorrow, confessing specific sin, and desiring to make a change. Our Father's response to a genuine prayer of forgiveness is absolute, immediate, and complete, folks. And if God has forgiven the sin, does that have to be ever brought up again? Once it's forgiven, is it not forgiven, folks? Gone. Off the books of record in heaven. It's over. It's done. It's gone. We don't have to worry. Other humans might remember and bring it up, but it's gone, folks. When God forgives us, He's forgiven us. It's over. How wonderful. I'm so thankful. It's not something that is a difficult situation to understand. It's a great thing that God has done. He came and gave His life for it. Did He not, folks? We are free. Don't let past sins that you have asked God to forgive be a concern, because, folks, they are forgiven. It's only future that is a concern. I want to read the following text of how great God's forgiveness of our sins is. I'm repeating this. You'll hear it for the third time this morning. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a promise? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Folks, why is it for His own sake? Because He wants to be with us in heaven, does He not? He has a reason to forgive us. Because forgiven, He can take us to heaven. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Redemption through His blood on the cross. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We have redemption, folks. It's gone. It's blotted out. The record in heaven is wiped clean. Is that not awesome? And we'll be in heaven with our Savior forever. This is a wonderful thing. Psalms chapter 103, verse 12. And I like to read, folks, from the Bible because it's the truth. I can stand and talk all day, but this is God's word. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. All this is that God has forgiven us. What a Savior we have. God is willing to forgive. In His love for us, not only are our sins forgiven, but they are forgotten. When we pray and ask forgiveness, our sins are no longer in our record in heaven, for God says they are as white as snow. God's blood covers them. The Lord has loved us and states, again reading from the Bible, John 14:14-15. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you believe, folks? If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 13:34-35, verses 34 and 35 in John 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Is that not a great love, folks? Love each other as God has loved us. And to come and give His life for us, is there no greater love? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. When we have created something, it is ours. You know, I've seen some people create some things that were just kind of ugly. Yet they were proud and wonderful. That was theirs. They had created it. Does not God love us in the same way? Because we are His creation. He wants to spend eternity with us. That's His goal. Nothing more. Maybe He doesn't give $1 million. Maybe things happen in our lives that we don't quite understand at the time. Maybe sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years for something to work out. But that's because God does love us. That's because He has a whole universe to deal with. Sometimes what is our situation, He's working with someone else that maybe will work in our situation, or our situation will work in their situation. And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It means that God does love us. Because He's working out the problems. I've had things that I prayed about that I thought should be done next week. And it took 3 years. Yet, in the end, I saw God work in other lives as well as mine. Because it took more time. So never doubt that God isn't working in your life or in charge, because He is. He has a whole universe to deal with. He has one purpose, folks, and it's to save. To take home to heaven the people with Him. John 14, 1 through 3. I know you know the text, but let's be reminded again. Let not your heart be troubled, folks. We live in a world that's winding down with a lot of problems. And as I said, I was so thankful that 2022 has finally passed me. Now, I don't know what 2023 will be. Only God knows. But I swear it can't be worse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. It's personal. It's you. It's personal. He'll come again for you, folks. For each of us. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that why God died and shed His blood on the cross? Lived His life to save us? To spend with us eternity? That was His purpose. Folks, you are loved. Ask and you are forgiven. You're forgiven completely. It's over. You ask, the Savior forgives. Is that not what we've heard this morning? White as snow, you're forgiven. I praise our Savior. How great our Savior is. May you be blessed this morning.
Because we do. God in prayer. Every trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so
Father, thank you. We praise you for how great thou art, dear Father. Your love and your mercy, your sacrifice that saves us, dear Father. Your willingness and your love to forgive us, so that we may be with you in heaven for eternity on the New Jerusalem. Thank you, dear Father. Please bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.